Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. It's still morning. Yes, it is. And so as Neil mentioned, the NASCAR project is interesting. So pray for the 47 car today in Michigan, please. I just want to share with you a few things that I'm sure resonate with you as they do with my life. And I'm going to share with you a few stories. I may read some of them, but I wrote them. And they're stories about people that were in my life that have taught me some biblical principles. And I want to share them with you today because I suspect that you know many people similar to the people that I know who have demonstrated some of these characteristics. And I think some of these stories will resonate with you as well. But I suspect many of you, if not all of you, have wondered at times when you're consumed, we're all consumed with life's daily tasks and responsibilities, where's God in all of this? For what purpose am I going through this experience? Why did I lose this job? Why did I have this opportunity? How is God going to work this out that has some quality of redemption for me to grow in my faith, perhaps bring favor to my family, and ultimately bring honor to God? I'd like to say that I have a definitive answer to that question, but I do not. There are circumstances that occur in life that are a mystery to me, but I am certain they are not a mystery to God. There are questions in all of our minds that will remain unanswered until we can get the answer from Christ Himself one day. What I do know is that Christ offered a template for daily living while He was here on earth. While He lived here, He did so with certain principles which have come to be now known as biblical principles. He left an example for us to follow that was tethered with a promise to that path. If you love me, He said, I will command my angels to guard you in all of your ways. When things in life are uncertain and the path is cluttered with obstacles and temptations, when you're unsure what step to take next, use the template that Christ created for us while He lived among us. And I want to share with you some stories about people that I think in my life have demonstrated some of those qualities. The book of Proverbs is a great resource for daily living. Proverbs 11 say, the just weight is His delight. The integrity of the upright will guide them. If you've ever had the opportunity to be a member of your school's theatrical department, or a cast member, or a musician, or play an instrument in the school band, or play on a team, I suspect most of you have had that opportunity. You've heard a coach say at one time or another, everyone on this team is just as important as everybody else. It sounds like a great coaching mantra, and many coaches believe those words to be true, but sometimes their actions belie their statements. Jacob was a member of his college baseball team, a valuable member of the team, as coach would often proclaim, but circumstances prevented him from getting much playing time. He was not a regular part of game day. In fact, he never got a chance to take the field during the regular season. At one point during the season, it became apparent to Jacob that he would indeed not see much, if any, action during this season. So after discussion with the coaching staff and his teammates, he decided to take a redshirt year, which means he'd be part of the team, but not actually playing a game. Jacob would still be able to practice with the team, continue to be a valuable member of the group, and help his teammates achieve their aspirations of a conference championship. He'd be included in all team functions because he was, after all, a valuable member of the team, just as valuable as everybody else. It was a great season for the team, and Jacob was a part the entire time, throwing batting practice, shagging fly balls, one of the guys. The team achieved their conference championship hopes and celebrated their victory, including Jacob. But as the championship-winning team, the players were presented with watches to commemorate their successful season. Jacob had thought that he was a valuable member of the team as well, because as you recall, coach had mentioned that many times, and his teammates treated him that way, but he was left off the recipient list for the championship watch. Obviously, he was not happy about it, and understandably, it soured his opinion of college athletics. Jacob would survive, but his experience would stick with him for some time as one of distrust and disappointment. Some months passed and he was playing summer ball in his hometown. A package arrived one day at his home, a small package with no return address. Jacob opened it to find a championship watch. The same one his teammates had received earlier that spring. No names on it, just a note that read, "Sorry it took us so long to get your championship watch to you." Signed, your teammates. Proverbs 11 says, "The just wait is his delight. The integrity of the upright will guide them." In Proverbs 11, it also says, "He who earnestly seeks good finds favor." On a sunny day, Tim King sat at a Nashville church savoring success. He had just watched Keyshawn Branch accept his diploma from Fisk University, the first Urban Prep alumnus to earn a bachelor's degree. When he had opened Urban Prep in 2006, the school had two core principles. One was discipline, longer school days, double doses of English classes, no bling, no baggy pants, black blazers with the school crest, and striped ties. The other was the Reach for the Stars message, celebrated every morning as the students gathered in the auditorium of the school. "We believe," they would say. "We believe we are exceptional, not because we say it, but because we work hard to achieve it. We believe in ourselves." But nobody knew for certain if that message would successfully carry over to college. Nobody knew whether the young students would survive and thrive absent the tough love atmosphere and constant guidance that Urban Prep provided. Keyshawn comes from Englewood, the often dangerous south side of Chicago. It was home to the first Urban Prep school, and as a kid, he hung out with gangbangers. He quit Urban Prep at one point rather than risk expulsion after getting into a fight in the neighborhood. When a friend was beaten to death, he begged the school to readmit him. He got serious about his education and became president of the student body. 4 years later, on graduation day, it was a fiercely proud and deeply grateful Keyshawn Curtis Branch who received his degree in psychology from Fisk University. He wanted to wear his sunglasses to hide his tears, and his mom said, "Absolutely not. I just feel like God's got my back," he declared, rubbing his eyes. He knows where he might have been had it not been for King and others who believed in him. The day before graduation, a longtime friend had phoned him to offer his congratulations. The phone call came from the Cook County Jail. "I'm supposed to have been dead, honestly," he says. "He who earnestly seeks good finds favor." Proverbs 16 says, again, a template for daily life, "When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him." And it happens, it doesn't matter what situation we're in. It doesn't matter if it's our family, it doesn't matter if it's an athletic team, it doesn't matter if it's our business, it doesn't matter if it's our community or our school. "When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him." As corporate leaders, CEOs have a responsibility to represent their stakeholders in the most enlightened way possible. This means meaningfully promoting the interests of their employees, their customers, and their community. So take a bow, CVS, because you're a notable exception and hopefully a tipping point in moving companies from profit-driven to profit and purpose-driven. It takes a lot to forego $2 billion in revenues to do the right thing. But as more companies embrace the concept of purpose over profits, maybe that trend will begin. Other key executives have already embraced this idea. Both Richard Smucker at Smucker's, who happens to be a sponsor of the 47 car, co-CEO of the J.M. Smucker Company, and Indra Nooyi, CEO of PepsiCo, have said that by starting with purpose, including social good, corporate success will follow. I kind of think they started with biblical principles. Young emerging business leaders are also showing promising change in In Net Impact's 2013 survey, 83% of MBA students in college said that they would take a 15% pay cut to work for an organization that values, whose values match their own. An iconic story is Malden Mills, now Polaric, the second largest textile mill in the United States, which burned to the ground in 1994. The next day, its owner and CEO, Aaron Feuerstein, traded on collecting $1 billion in insurance money to announce that he would pay all employees wages and benefits until the mill was rebuilt. Malden Mills made worldwide headlines and has inspired many CEOs to examine values first before deciding to close its plants. Winston Churchill liked to quip that you can always count on Americans to do the right thing after they have exhausted every other possibility. That comment bites a little too deeply these days as corporate America continues to dig out of the wreckage from bad decisions, ethical lapses, exaggerations, and even fraud of the boom years that ended so abruptly. Times are changing, however, and the corporate greed that has helped define the previous decade is being replaced with a new and refreshing philosophy. Coca-Cola, the world's largest beverage company and most valuable brand, has committed itself to becoming water neutral by 2020, along with a host of other such good citizen initiatives, demonstrating that the most successful companies can best fulfill their shareholder ambitions and society's ambitions at the same time. I would think rather that than being corporate principles, they're biblical principles. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. In Proverbs 27, it says, let another man praise you, not your own mouth. Mike Binns grew up on the side of Bronx Hill, a residential street just north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, about 5 miles from the metropolitan area. He participated in Little League baseball and youth football and loved playing freeze tag with the neighborhood kids that lived on the block, including Mr. Kelso. I am not sure why he enjoyed the game. Perhaps it was the rush of emotion he felt when his hiding spot was discovered by his youth captors. From an early age, he was destined for a profession that was filled with intrigue, suspension, a touch of danger. Perhaps that's what led him to the military, an area where his discipline and his passion for adventure and his drive to lead people would best be realized. His military service also began to engage his electronic acumen, and early on it was apparent that he would be selected to participate in a very elite bomb disarmament brigade, helping to secure safe passage and movement for military servicemen and women and local community members in war-ridden geographical locations. The community's good fortune was to have Captain Binns available to disarm an unexploded device that was occupying space near their villager homes. He was flawless in his operation, the best there was. When it came to retire from that position after nearly a decade of service, the disarmament unit could not find an adequate replacement that matched his selfless ambition, his intuition, or his skill set. It would be another 5 years before he could properly mentor another young men and young women who shared a similar disposition and a passion for service to replace him in the field. When asked to describe what he did or his situation of being forced to remain in his position until a qualified replacement could be found, his reply was simply, I'm just doing what the job that God and the military trained me to accomplish. Thousands of people around the globe owe their lives to Captain Binns. But to ask him, it was all in the course of a day's work. He never sought attention. He never felt that his safety was beyond his capacity to serve. Perhaps we can use his philosophical life statement to influence our own work. Let another man praise you, not your own mouth. I have one more for you. Proverbs 6 says, consider the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food for the harvest. Tuesday, March 11th began like most weekdays for Beth, the recently graduated and aspiring young lawyer. She gathered the brief she had been preparing for several weeks that would be presented later that morning to the judge and seek of permission to allow a family from the Far East residence in the United States. This was not your ordinary request, but one that Beth had dealt with on several other occasions. The family felt imminent peril if they were to be forced to return to their home country. Residents in America would temporarily provide a safe haven and enable the family to enjoy the simplest of pleasures, like sleeping through the night, which had eluded them in recent months as they feared for their lives. Beth presented the judge with a legal brief that was required in these cases, but it was the passion with which she related the story of this family that touched the heart of the presiding judge. After much deliberation, the family would be granted residency in the United States and could begin to rebuild their lives. This is what Beth envisioned when she entered law school several years earlier. "I want to make a difference in people's lives," she said. I want to make a difference in people's life was the answer when people would ask her, "Why did you go to law school?" When she entered school, it seemed like her vision was shared by all of her classmates at the prestigious university, men and women who wanted to make a difference in their profession, a difference in the lives of the people they served, and using their degree and knowledge to shape their communities. Somewhere along the course of her law school career, however, it seemed that many of those classmates that entered with similar visions had traded them for other rewards that the legal profession offered. Beth understood that these aspirations were not mutually exclusive and began to go down that path as well. That's before she took a volunteer position working at a family justice center in a local community near the college. That experience helped her to regain the passion that had drawn her to the law profession in the first place. The realization came that she was trading her passion for other rewards that came with much less lasting satisfaction. It was a special day that Beth can remember, a specific day when she made the decision to refocus her career desires to fulfill her calling to make a positive impact on every person that she was privileged to represent. So how is it that we begin to engage these biblical principles in our lives? I mean, first, I believe it requires a decision to say, "I'm going to let Christ be the center of my life and control what I do. And then I'm going to commit myself to live with the template that he laid out before us in Scripture, many of which in Proverbs." And it doesn't happen overnight. We live in East Aurora, and I have a driveway that's about 1,500 feet long. The front is paved, the back end is paved, but the middle 600 feet is not paved. Don't ask me why I did that. You have no idea. But every time it rains in the spring, you get those gully washers, and the water comes down, and then it jumps over the culvert pipe, and pretty soon I have to carry about 15 or 20 wheelbarrow loads of stone back up to the driveway and continue to replenish it. So one day, a few years ago, my son had come home for something, and he grabbed a couple tools out of the garage. It was raining pretty hard, and he went down to the driveway, and I said, "Where are you going with those tools?" He said, I'm just going to go. I got an idea for the driveway." I said, "Okay." So he went down, and then I walked down later to see what he was doing, and he had scratched just a little path about halfway down from where the water had come over the culvert pipe and was running down the driveway to get it back into the culvert area. Just a little tiny path, maybe 3 inches deep by about 4 feet long. And I said, "Oh, hey, thank you very much, Jesse." I said, "That's really great." But I wasn't sure that little 2-inch deep, 4 feet wide trench was going to do anything. But you know what? Over the course of time, as the water would run down there, it would continue to gouge out that 2-inch trench and eventually became a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger. And then I was there when we've had all these storms recently, and you go down that driveway and all the water is directed to the path that Jesse had scratched and engraved several years earlier. If we begin to scratch and engrave those character traits and those principles that God offered instruction for in Proverbs, if we commit our lives to Him, I believe that He will direct our paths. And I think we need to do it with those principles that I mentioned, with integrity, with valor, with honor, with humility, and with service. Living our lives by biblical principles that will help us share Christ's love to those we are fortunate to meet in our life's journey. By the way you love one another, they will know that you are my disciples. And let me just share one more. We got one more minute? Okay, let me just share one more story with you. I had occasion to read a book that a friend of mine had sent to me. Is it called The Prayer Circle? There's two of them. Mark Batterson, this is the second book. But I just got finished reading that book because I don't even have cable TV in Charlotte. So I'm just reading books and after I'm at the race team. So I read the last page of that book the other day, and it was so poignant because it said everything you do in life is about your prayer life and about the Holy Spirit. If you're in the medical profession, you need to pray for discernment so that you can diagnose and understand your patients. If you're in the legal profession, you need to pray for wisdom so that you can guide your clients in the right direction. If you're in the teaching profession, you need to pray that you can capture the hearts of those students that you have the blessing of being with every single day. If you're in the entertainment world, you pray for guidance to develop great content that's clean and entertaining to people so that they can laugh and so that they can find a time of enjoyment. And it goes on and on and on and on. And he says, everything you do in life is about prayer and the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage you that when things seem like, I'm not sure why this situation is happening, or I don't know how this is going to work out for good, or to teach me something, or to bring favor to God, or to bless my family. But I would pray that everybody, myself included, that we would commit ourselves to Christ first, but then to living by the principles that he laid out before us that are a model for daily living. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and speak. And it's nice to see so many people here on a Sunday morning. I'm going to leave pretty quickly because I'm going to try to go back to my church service in Orchard Park that I don't get to attend very often here in recent months. But it's been a pleasure to be here with you this morning. What a great ministry to be able to worship in this beautiful setting and just understand that all good things come from God.